off the ball.
GAA.
I would have an outside shout at Wofford. They're way better hurlers than people think. They have plenty of pace. They're on a little roll. They're a team waiting to explode.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line. Try from Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. My name is Rory O'Hagan, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes. Look ahead to a big Interpro this coming Saturday in Thomond Park as Munster take on Connacht in a huge game for both sides. We'll take a look at the squads in depth in a little bit and we'll look back at the previous meetings between the two provinces. Also on the show today, we're going to have an interview with Cork Con coach Johnny Holland after their AIL success at the Aviva Stadium. So all that and more to come on this week's episode of the Red 78. Alan, Fiona, how are you? Delighted to see you as always.
Good, Rory, good. I'm not feeling the best. What I learned in the last week is I can't party like I used to. So remember the last time we were chatting and I was heading off to Portugal after my AIL win. Well, two nights out and I've been sick since. So old age is firmly set in here with me anyway.
Quinny, it sounds like she needs more training for that kind of thing.
It's nothing to do with old age. It's just bad living. I'm only joking. No, sure, you had to celebrate your win, Fiona, and that was important. But you picked up a bug, unfortunately. So anyway, you're weathering the storm and trying to get overcome it.
I am.
Just about. And fingers crossed for Fiona up for AIL Coach of the Year tonight as well. So we'll have all our fingers crossed, Quinny, won't we?
She won't get better anyway if she wins that tonight, because she'll be back in the wine again and the cider, trying to drive the infection out of the body. But no, I think it's great. It's great. And I know she'll start blushing a little bit now, but it is wonderful to see the success she's had this year with her team and winning the AIL and up for the energy. Rugby players... Sport AIL Awards, sorry.
Yeah.
Energy AIL Awards tonight. So best of luck, Fiona. Anyway,
cheers.
Hopefully I'm sure you're gonna win it. Sure you have to win it after winning the AIL.
You don't know.
All right, we've plenty to get through on the show today. First off, I'm gonna get through some comments that have reached us at the show. Fiona, if you want to go through those.
Yeah, there was a good bit in this week as well. So thanks, guys, for sending in those comments. We're always reading at them. And actually, there's quite good interaction as well between other people because we had Ken Shedwell asking any update on the fitness of Edwin Adagbo or any sign of his brother getting near the senior squad. And then Liam Mead responded that he tore his Achilles in December. So he's probably going to be out, probably won't be back for even the start of next season. Quinny, anything on the brother, do you think, making that step up to the senior squad?
I don't know. I think I'm sure he's going to be brought into the academy. I'd be surprised if he wasn't. Or is he already in the academy? I'm not sure.
No, he's not yet. I know he's probably away with the 20s as well over the summers, would imagine.
Yeah, and he did very well in the Six Nations. So, yeah, he's a really bright prospect, incredible power. And, you know, people probably forget the kind of impact that Edwin Adagbo was starting to make in the team. You know, it was such a shame he got injured. And so, yeah, hopefully he recovers well. It's the second Achilles injury he had. Hopefully this is the last and he overcomes that. And maybe we'll see the two Adagbo brothers having a long, distinguished Munster career, hopefully, because they're very powerful and physical players and unique kind of athleticism. So hopefully we'll see a lot more of them in the future.
Yeah, another couple of questions coming in as well around Zeebo. We have Chef the Electric said, do you think Zeebo will stay another season? Any rumours of new signings for next year after finally stringing a few games together? He seems to be in best form he's had for years, even keeping Haley out of the starting 15.
Yeah, I've heard nothing close. I heard, one point a number of weeks back that, you know, he wasn't getting a new contract. Then I heard that... there's talks that maybe he will get another contract and extension. Again, it's speculation. You don't know what the player wants himself. Does he want to continue? Does he want to go again? I think he's a very popular member of the squad. The fans love him. And he has played really well in the last number of appearances. I think, you know, Simon would admit himself, he needs a run of matches. He needs fitness. He needs to be battle hardened and go out every week and have the right sort of conditioning and stuff like that. It's difficult to work on your fitness when you've lower leg injuries. So he's been unlucky. But, you know, people would love to see Simon Zebo out in the field every week. So I don't know. I've tried to ask. It's been very quiet on the... It's been very loud in Leinster about all their signings and excitement of Champions Cup semi-final, Croke Park, new contract announcements in the last week in the Leinster camp, all very positive. And you're thinking, if you're a Munster fan, give us some positive news about any sort of signings. I know we'll probably talk about the Anton Frisch situation in a few minutes, but it's been... bad news for Munster, really, in those sense. But on the field, the team are doing well. I'm sure we're going to, you know, there's going to be some new additions to the squad. Who knows what kind of players they're allowed to bring in. I know there was a talk that, you know, they wanted to try and bring in a non-Irish qualified front row player. Yeah. And it was being stopped by the RFU. I think Lou said it's probably an area of concern. Jaeger coming in this year would certainly make a huge difference going forward. But I don't know. I think most Munster fans are looking for some sort of exciting news that that would make them happy and excite them for next year. The Anton Frisch is the other big one. You know, if he goes, it looks like the rumours and the reports are that Toulon have signed him for 4 years and Munster have received a significant transfer fee with him, so he we'll just have to wait and see in that one. I'm sure they're going to have to try and bring a centre in from somewhere.
Yeah, and then we have Christopher Murphy says, if they want to be serious contenders for the top two or even hit the top spot, this is a match they have to win. No ifs and buts. Getting home field for two knockouts would be absolutely massive. They have to be utterly ruthless and clinical. And Joe, I'll finish off. And Joe, weather looks dry, big crowd attendance, should be a great game, and strong bench. People are pushing this the whole time. And to be fair, it's true. A strong bench has made a massive difference of late. Let's hope it can do it again.
Thank you very much indeed for your comments. If you want to get them, you can tweet Quinny or Fiona for next week's show. Just on Antoine Frisch, Fiona, he's been so, so good for Munster this year. If he does the part for Toulon, as is widely expected, he is going to be a massive loss.
He's going to be a huge loss. And you know what? He's been such a great player, but I also feel like it's that partnership he's built up with Nankivell as well. You want your centres working off each other. And the way the two of them play, it's been brilliant for Munster. When they've both been on the pitch, it's exceptional. Two really good ballers as well. You know, he has the ability to kick. He has the ability to I suppose, use his footwork and contact. But it's defensively, I thought his decision-making around that area, it can be quite hard when you're out in those wider channels. And he's someone who's been absolutely brilliant for Munster. But look, it's been one season. You know, that's it. These gaps will have to be filled. It's such a shame he is going. But I think the money Munster probably will get for him will also probably add to bringing in someone of a big signing. And over the years, you know, when big signings have paid off for Munster, they've generally been in that centre position. We've been blessed with some of the best centres coming and playing really good rugby, you know, Mafia, etc. So hoping, yes, wishing him all the best. He's got to do what he's got to do. And obviously wants to get capped by France. It's just a shame that he didn't get a chance, I suppose, up at that Irish camp. Would have loved to see him up there. Because in general, Quinny might agree with this. Yes, there are like established centres up in Ireland, but I do feel like a bit, if a couple, two or three of those guys are injured, I think the depth chart isn't as good as we'd like it to be.
And that is the million-dollar question, I suppose, Quinny. Who did I get to replace him?
God only knows. I think it is concerning for Munster fans. I'm sure they're working in the background to try and come up with an alternative, particularly if they've received a transfer fee, that they have some money to use towards a player. Dan Kelly from Leicester, obviously, there's speculation that that he was someone that Munster were looking at, very good player. The talk from Leicester, again, it's all stuff you see online, so it's hard to kind of give it huge credit. But that Leicester would want a transfer fee or to buy him out of his contract, that he'd have to be bought out of his contract. He's another year with Leicester Tigers. So I don't know. I doubt it very much if the RFU allow them to bring in an overseas player in the centre, given Alex Tankerville is already there. I don't know what the plan is. But they've got to replace him. They've got to bring somebody in because ideally you'd love to see the homegrown players chomping at the bit. But I think the depth chart isn't there, as Fiona said. I think Liam Coombs coming back is it'll be really good for Munster. He's been out for 15 months. He's had an horrific time with injury. He's a very good player. He's tall. He's athletic. I think Shane Daly could play in the centre. So they can move things around a little bit. So maybe they'll get an overseas back three player. Who knows? And that will meet the criteria and that they can move people around a little bit there. But, you know, you just look at Jamie Osborne and Leinster coming through, you know, starting in Champions Cup games. That's not happening in Munster, unfortunately. And maybe there's young players coming through in the next few years. But the depth chart isn't there at the moment. And Anton Frisch, you know, given that, you know, he went to that Ireland development tour to South Africa in September 2022, you think that that's going to be his course of action for the next number of years, being involved in Irish squads and staying here long term. So unfortunately, his head is turned and France value him. And, you know, he will get capped in the summer against Argentina, I'm sure. And unfortunately, that will he'll be departing. So once you've got to try and find someone, definitely. And I think that's the interesting part now around all this recruitment that I was talking about. You know, you don't have this open-ended checkbook. They've got to be smart and shrewd and maybe look in the Irish market as well, see if there's anyone available.
Do you think, Quinny, do you think Sean O'Brien, you know, we haven't seen a lot of him.
Yeah,
do you think
player.
He could fill that void if given a chance?
He's a very good player, but I think with all due respect to Sean O'Brien, he's a super player and did so well against the Lions. Dermot Kilgallen is coming in as well, who's a very promising young player from Connacht, and that will add a little bit more depth. Because, you know, Keith Earls and Andrew Conway, I've mentioned this a few times, both of them were in the squad at the start of the season and they're gone then, you know, a month into the season, it's over. So there needs to be more depth there. And you see how long the season is. You see the way Munster have been affected by injuries. If they had more depth within the squad and more quality and experience, they could have been contesting for a Champions Cup. Sean O'Brien has been really good all the time. He's played out of position on the wing. But I think Munster need to aspire to... I've always kind of had this belief, if you're bringing in overseas players, you have to bring in top quality international level. It's not always easy, unless you get this really promising young player that has the potential to a superstar type status who hasn't been capped. It's not always easy. You know, Alex Nankville was kind of on the kind of radar for the All Blacks, but probably just below kind of selection level. He played in the Maoris a few times and he played in this New Zealand select team that came to Ireland here as well. But who knows? You know, I think you just need depth there because you see where you need to rotate teams. And we keep talking about Leinster's depth, and that's what keeps them up near the top in both competitions throughout each season, you know.
Indeed. All right, let's look ahead to this Connacht game coming up in Thomond Park this coming Saturday night. Fiona, Munster coming into this game in the back of two huge wins in South Africa. They've had a week off since, which obviously, considering, I suppose, how tough those games were in South Africa, was warmly welcomed by this squad, I'd imagine.
Yeah, look, I would say so, because they were absolutely outstanding over there. Altitude, everything. They put everything on the line. So I've seen a few of them were off golfing and well-deserved, you know. I think I came across a couple of them on the plane home from Portugal as well. But look, this team now, are on kind of an upward trajectory. We talked about last year how South African tour kick-started that, and you can see from how they played, how they bonded, how they spoke in the interviews afterwards, that this, even Snyman's interview during the week, that he wants to go out winning the URC. So they now have one goal, and I think we'll start to see this kick in against Connacht on Saturday night. Quinny said it earlier when we were chatting pre-show that, you know, this is the last game they lost. Connacht were the last team they lost to in the URC. So they definitely, different type of squad I think we had out in the sports ground, but they have a lot more players to pick from. Guys are in really good form. They've been rested for that week, as you said, Rory. So I'm absolutely looking forward to it, because we're coming on here a few times and we're talking about, you know, guys being injured and who's missing, whereas they're gently coming back into the squad. Hodnett, I think, being out obviously is a huge loss, but the depth that's there and that confidence they've built up away on tour together, I'm excited to see how that pans out, because I personally think, I don't know if Quinny agrees with me, I think Thomond Park is due a big game from Munster.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic to see it this coming Saturday. As Fiona was touching on there, Quinny, since that defeat to Connacht at the start of January, the 1st of January, Munster have gone on an amazing run, 29 points out of 30 in the league, and have looked very, very good. And they seem to be sort of like peaking at the right point of the season.
They have, yeah. They've got players back. I think they've developed their game. I think they've improved in certain areas, the most obvious one, the set piece. You know, I see the two tries, Maul tries against the Lions. I think their Maul has improved in the last couple of weeks, and you know, it comes with having some physical power and strength back into the group. You know, if you go back to the game in Galway on 1st of January, I think it was tough conditions. I think if you remember Gavin Coombs, he blocks the ball down early on in the game and he goes to touch it down and it just goes over the dead ball line. I think in horrendous weather conditions and in a really tight game, I think that was a significant moment in the game. You know, looking at the stats, Munster, you know, 59% possession, 58% territory. Connacht had to make 202 tackles, Munster 102. So, Munster are the ones with a lot of possession. I think Pete Wilkins mentioned that yesterday, I think in his press conference, that for Connacht going to Thomond Park, they're going to have to understand that, you know, Munster have a lot of possession at times and they hold on to the ball pretty well in games. And again, I always talk about stats. Sometimes it can be misleading because, you know, we saw from the Lions game the last day, Munster didn't have a lot of possession, didn't have a lot of territory, but just struck at the right moments and were able to defend really stoutly and with a lot of connection. But the thing that jumps out at me about that game in Galway was the line-out was just malfunctioned. Mm. They lost loads of line-outs in really crucial moments. I don't think that's going to be a problem here, but I do. I would say that Connacht are a team that put a lot of pressure on the opposition lineout. So that's not going to change for Saturday. I know Munster will have different personnel there. You'll have Tadhg Byrne and RG Snyman. You'll have Thomas Ahern. I think both Thomas Ahern and Tadhg Byrne played in that game in Galway. Scott Buckley was was hooker in that game. And I think there was inaccuracies from Scott's throwing. There was poor calling. It certainly wasn't the hooker's fault. It was a culmination of all the forwards, and some of the calls were poor on the night when you know, it just wasn't on to throw to the tail and stuff like that. And it cost Munster, I think, I do remember it pretty well, and I look back at the highlights, Munster's effort level and their intensity was pretty good, but just a lot of inaccuracies. You know, they gave away 13 penalties in that game as well, which was poor. No clean line break in the game. Connacht only had two, so it wasn't a game for clean line breaks. But, you know, looking back at the Jack Ainger try, it comes off a mistake as well, overthrowing the line out, and they score. And, you know, it's 22-9. The game the previous year, similar kind of trait. a bit of narkiness to it. Connacht won that one in Galway as well. And amazingly, and I mean this respectfully to Connacht, they've won the last, out of the last six games, Connacht have won four of them. I think the overall record is still heavily, I think, is it 83 or 4 in Munster's favour?
86, Connacht wins 13, three draws.
Yes, three draws. So when that's the history of the fixtures. But if you look at the last six games, Connacht won four there. Munster won two. Now there's a Rainbow Cup in there as well. But like there's six fixtures, Connacht have won the last four. Mm.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode, we look ahead to Munster's run-in for the rest of the season. And we have our special interview with Cork Con head coach Johnny Holland. You can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot,